Tonight I want to speak to you about the man in the middle. The man in the middle. Who was he? Well, we've just read it. He's the Lord Jesus. There were two others, malefactors, criminals, bandits. They were led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. It's amazing, you know, we always talk about Calvary. The Lord went to Calvary. Well, these criminals went to Calvary that did them no good. It did nobody any good. But Christ going to Calvary, where he died at the place of the execution. And so tonight I want to meditate for a few moments on the man in the middle. And I want to warm your hearts by this little devotional talking about Christ. And again, I want us to love the Lord Jesus. I don't love the Lord Jesus. Well, I love him more than I used to. But there's so much. If you love him, if you love God, you love God with every thought. I don't have every thought loving Jesus. I should have, but I want to have, and I'm not condemned because I don't, because he doesn't condemn me. But tonight I want to talk about the man in the middle. Mm-hmm. May we fall in love with him again tonight. Amen. And so when we consider the man in the middle, when we consider the central cross, we see who was nailed to it? Well, it was Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. Now notice, by the way, and I've told you this before, but notice how they put Jesus in the middle, in the center. The reason they did this was to insult him. Because in their mind, he was the worst criminal. And if you took three criminals and executed them, you would take the worst of them and put them in the middle. And so that's what they did to Jesus. They said he's the worst of all these, worst criminal. And so they heaped upon him uttermost scorn, all the scorn that they could give to a devilish criminal. But in doing so, they unconsciously honored him. Did you know that wherever Jesus is, he deserves the highest place? He really does. He deserves preeminence. That in all things, he would have the preeminence. And he took the preeminent place amongst sinners. And why did he do that? That the worst of sinners would be saved. That's the Savior. So who was this one who is the man in the middle? Who is he? Or what was he like in his life? Well, he spent his life doing good. He spent his life healing. He spent his life cleansing lepers. He spent his life raising the dead. He spent his life feeding the 5,000, the 7,000. He spent his life meeting every form of human need. He's the one who said in Matthew 11:28, what's it say? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Do you know that that's a generous invitation, isn't it? He said, come on to me, a few of you that are weary and heavy laden. No, he says, come on to me, all of you. Gosh, he's big, isn't he? What a Savior, all of you. All your need, all your need, all your need, all my need, all your need, your need, your need, your need. Come on to me, all of you that are heavy laden, weary, heavy laden. I will give you rest. What a generous thing to say. And yet they put him on the cross. Why would they do that to him? Well, this is beginning to show us some things. Why would you kill a man like that? Did you know about Jesus, the man in the middle? He was the only truly holy man who has ever lived. He was a perfect man. He was a delightful man. He was full of grace and full of truth. You know, when you come to think of it, I suppose people didn't much mind the grace, but they hated the truth. The grace was all right. And so here he is on the center cross, the man in the middle. And he's the only pure, untainted human being who's ever come into this world. He's a man who had perfectly glorified the Father. on this earth, and he had given a perfect demonstration, a perfect visual of what God was like. So much so that he could say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The perfect exegesis of God. He's the mediator. He's the man in the middle. Now we're dealing with the man in the middle as he's at the center cross. He's also the man in the middle being the revelator between God and man, the mediator between God and man, but we'll leave that for another time. And so we have to ask what placed him there. We're going to discover a few profound truths about what placed him there. What placed him there? Well, the first thing that placed him there, we see, as we look at that cross, as we look at the man in the middle, we see it's a, what's the word I'm trying to, it's a revelation, not even a revelation, but it's a declaration of man's heart towards God. That man would do this to God incarnate shows what's in the heart of man. There's no clearer commentary on the nature of man and his attitude to God than the cross of Jesus Christ. And if we want a perfect standard whereby to measure the human heart, well, you look no farther than the cross. If you want to measure what sin is like, what it does, look no farther than the man in the middle. Look at the cross. And we can't stop short of the cross. We can't go beyond the cross. If you want to know what man is really like, listen. Listen to what, brother? Listen to Luke 23:21. What shall I do with Jesus? Crucify him! Crucify him! That's the heart call of man. That's what man is like. Crucify him. Why, what did he do? He said, come unto me, all of you that are weary. Have you never been weary? Have you never been heavy laden? Have you never been in need of rest? How could people turn and say, crucify him? Unregenerate man preferred Barabbas, a robber, a murderer, the man who should have been on the center cross, the worst of the villains. And so if you want to know what man's like, let's get personal. If you want to know what you're like, look at the cross. Sinful man crucified the only perfect man who had ever lived. And someone says, well, thank God that wasn't me, brother, that was the Jews. I'd have never done that. Oh, you'd have never done that, you old Pharisee. Of course you'd have done it. Of course you would. Away with your self-righteous nonsense. There's a guy who writes a lot of the modern hymns, Stuart Townend, and he captures it well. He says, behold the man upon the cross, my sins upon his shoulder. Ashamed, I hear his mocking voice cry out. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice cry out, call out amongst the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. It was my sin that held him there. Have you seen that personally? Have you seen your responsibility in the death of the man in the middle? In the death of the God-man? It was my sins that held him there. When you say, I'm not like that anymore, if you're not, praise God, and I'll tell you why. It's grace, it's grace, it's grace. God has taken by grace and taken a hold of you and opened you up to him. It's grace. Grace, grace. But in and of ourselves, our nature would say, away with him, crucify him. You know, I'm not shocked by wickedness when I hear about it. You know, we see someone on TV and say, oh, I'm shocked by that. Why? Why are you shocked by that? Look what they did to Jesus. Look what they did to their God. They put him on the middle cross. The man in the middle. They crucified the Lord of glory. Look, all these politicians running around with their peace proposals and they're going to do this and we're going to start this program and we'll spend $1 billion there and we'll this and that. It's not going to work because you're not going to change human nature by that. And human nature is revealed at the cross. Human nature killed the young Prince of Glory. That's what's in man. We don't want this man. We want Barabbas, the murderer. That's what the religious leaders, that's what they all called out. And so, listen, you go and tell your unsaved friends, do you want to know what people are like, unsaved people are like? Get out in that street and evangelize. Or go and tell your friends. They don't want to hear it, but Jesus, we just were out there on the streets today. They don't want to hear about Jesus. Most of them wouldn't even take an invitation. One man we were talking to, and he seemed to be all right, and then we offered him a Bible. No, 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 I don't want that Bible. Don't interfere with me! And so, not this man, Barabbas. See, you can go out there and talk about anything, any subject, and you'll be tolerated. You can talk filthy nonsense and tell dirty jokes, and you'll be applauded. But talk about Jesus, you'll be told to be quiet. It's a terrible mistake to think that the world is improving. It's a terrible mistake to think that man's nature and character is improving. Man's heart outside of regeneration is still against God. And man's heart would murder the Lord Jesus. And so, this therefore has brought a death sentence upon man. Every man that's listening to me in sermon audio, every woman watching on YouTube, let me tell you, if you have not trusted Christ, if you have not put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, as you're doing that and calling out for His mercy, looking to Him for salvation, you are lost. You are sitting tonight on death row. You're under condemnation. You're under the threat and certainty of damnation. So let me ask you, have you trusted Christ as your righteousness? Have you asked Him to be merciful to you, a sinner? I'm deliberately pausing. It's so worth thinking about, isn't it?
Yep.
Have you trusted Christ as your righteousness? And so the man in the middle shows us man's heart towards God, but in the second place, the man in the middle demonstrates God's heart towards man. Oh, I love this. And so if on the cross of our precious Lord Jesus Christ, we can truly see the state of man's heart towards God, in that same cross we discover the state of God's heart towards us, towards man. And the cross is a perfect measurement of both. I'm constantly amazed by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. Did you know He turned the very implements of pain into something which was almost, well, praiseworthy? That may not be the right word. But take, for example, they took nails. Horrible things. Old, big, solid nails. Hammered them into Him. And then He hammered His feet in to the cross. And He suffered horrific pain as He was wounded. But we receive salvation because He was wounded for our transgressions. Look away to the man in the middle. Wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. Hallelujah. Those horrible, wretched nails become something wonderful. They are used in bringing us back to God. Oh, yes. What a heart He has towards us. Think about the spear. They stuck the spear into His side and out came a serum like water, blood and water, which according to many medical people means that His heart had exploded. What a wretched thing to stick a spear into Him. But my goodness, how the man in the middle changes everything. And he takes this gory, horrible thing and makes it something wonderful, because it means he was dead, which means he died in our place, beloved. Listen, listen, he died in your place. Is your conscience tearing at you because of the terrible things you've done in your past? He died in your place. The man in the middle died because he loves you and he wants you to believe and trust in him. And if you do, your conscience is cleansed. Oh, you are delivered from an evil conscience. Yes, we look at that center cross and we see it's the most amazing meeting place of hatred, man's hatred, and the meeting place of hatred with love, God's love. And so, and at the height of the fury and hatred and venom of unregenerate man, we meet love. What kind of a God is this? Don't you want to worship him? Don't you want to get in your face before him and worship him? Oh. Hatred and love meet, and love walks away victorious. God and sin meet, and God triumphs, and sin is put away. And now on the resurrection side of the cross, the Holy Spirit announces the good news. And that's in Romans 5 and verse 21. Well, what's this good news? And here it is, that grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our God. God can righteously save us because of the man in the middle. He went to the cross. Do you really want to know what God's heart is like towards you? If so, gaze at the man in the middle. He was nailed there at the cross by the predetermined counsel and foreknowledge of God. Now there's a dark side to Calvary, yes. But there's a glorious side too. In the dark side we see the evil of man and man's heart. In the glorious side we see God's amazing heart towards us. And Jesus came to seek. And Jesus came to save. Came to seek those that he came to save. And he came to save those that he came to seek. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. Who are lost. Who did he come to seek and to save? Those that are lost. Anybody here think that's good news? I do. Do you know who thinks that's good news? Lost people. But if you don't think you're lost, that's no good news. There's no good news in the gospel unless you're lost. And so, if you've not known that you're lost, if you don't know that you're lost, these words will not resonate with you. But if your conscience has convicted you and you have learned to say, I am guilty before God. Oh! Help me! Is there any help for me? Yeah. If you've taken your true place and accepted your place as a sinner, there's help because of the man in the middle. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. The Christ of the center cross saves. And so let's look in your quiet, in the quietness of your heart, and continue to look to that man in the middle. And you don't have to walk around in condemnation as you do. And we do things every week that deserve condemnation. But don't dwell on that. Take it to the cross. Take it to the Christ of the cross. And so, when we see our guilt as proved in the cross, but yet we see the love of God as proved in the cross, there comes peace with that. There comes a cleansing of the conscience with that. And we know then that the blood cleanses us. We're set free. And so, it's as our hearts are broken by sin. Oh, well, that happened to me 3 years ago. Do you know when that happened to me? Today. And I hope it happens tomorrow. Not to be condemned, because I can't be condemned and I'm not going to allow my flesh to condemn me. But I'm undeserving of the least of his mercies. And so, sin breaks our heart. But it's to, when we sin, it's to bring us to the marvelous love of God, the marvelous love of the cross. And unless your heart gets broken by sin, how can you grasp the value of the blood? It can't be done. It's only a theory. But unless you see yourself as ruined, how do you appreciate the man in the middle and what he was doing? How can a self-satisfied person enjoy the grace and love of God? It's utterly impossible. And it's only when we are broken down in the presence of the cross and seeing it as the measure of our own deep personal guilt that we're prepared to say, I'm prepared to see that this cross, this man in the middle, is a glorious display of the Father's love for us. It's no wonder then that the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. So many people are worried about speaking in tongues. I'm concerned about unspeakable things. Paul went to the third heaven and saw things that could not be, was not lawful to be uttered. The gospel takes you beyond the realm of speech at times. And on that cross, the man in the middle, the eternal God exhausted His wrath for the elect. Exhausted it. He poured out every drop. Is there any wrath left, Father? No, not a drop. There's no for His people. The wrath was poured out. The wrath that should have gone to every one of us. And where was it poured? It was poured on the man in the middle. The man in the center cross. Oh my. Do you know what? When we say He exhausted, the man in the middle, Christ Jesus, exhausted the wrath of God. Do you know what exhausted means? It means it was like a damp sponge. Here's the sponge filled with wrath, and you wring out that sponge until it's completely dry, because every drop of wrath went upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrung it out. The Father wrung out the wrath, every drip, every drag of the anger that He had against His people's sins was exhausted upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And it wouldn't do if there was one of my sins not placed on Christ. Because then I'd have to pay for it. Now, one more thing before bringing this devotional to an end, this devotional about the man in the middle, we have seen that this center cross displays God's, man's heart towards God. It displays God's heart towards man. But it also displays something else. The third thing that we see on this center cross in the person of the man in the middle is the heart of Christ towards the Father. Yeah. Now, this is profound, and I don't pretend to understand the half of it. I'm constantly preaching about things I haven't a clue about, but they're there. And so I'm only scraping the surface of this point. And there's a lot of time is demanded by it to really do it justice, but here it is briefly. It's an unspeakable thing to my heart, an unspeakable thing to consider in the midst of this, to remember that God has been already perfectly glorified in one man. Perfectly glorified by the man, Christ Jesus, who became the man in the middle. There's been one man and one man only whose meat and drink was to do the will of the Father, to glorify Him and to finish the work. And in His life and in His death, Jesus perfectly glorified the Father. From the manger to the cross, He glorified the Father. His heart was perfect towards the Father. His heart was perfectly devoted towards the Father. His heart was perfectly devoted to accomplishing the will of God. Whatever that will might be. Hebrews 10:7, says, "Lo, I am come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." There's what Jesus is like. What's he like? There's what he's like. In every detail, to do the will of the Lord. And he dedicated himself with every energy, with every waking thought, with every sleeping thought, he dedicated himself to the Father's will. And this is wonderfully unfolded to us in that wonderful passage in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Yeah. I'm thrilled that the man in the middle, the Lord Jesus Christ, walked in the will of God. And do you know why? Because there's so many times I haven't walked in the will of God. And you haven't either. But Jesus walked in the will of God, in my place, in your place. And all that perfect obedience is yours and it's mine. It's wonderful. What profound depths there are in the mystery of the center cross, in the mystery of the man in the middle. What lines of truth converge in it, and what rays of glorious gospel light come from it. And what a revealing of hearts. There's the revelation of the heart of man towards God. There's the revelation of the heart of God towards man, and then there's the revelation of the heart of Christ towards the Father. And all this we have in the cross, as we gaze upon the one who was executed between two thieves, two malefactors. And briefly, let me finish by saying, do you want to know how much God loves you? Then look away to the cross. Don't look at your performance. If you look at your performance, you will persuade yourself that God couldn't love you. You will. You'll get down and you say, "No, he couldn't love me." So look away from your performance and look to the man in the middle, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want to know God's hatred of sin? Then you've got to look at the cross. What a brutal picture, because God hates sin. If you want to know the measure of man's heart, look at the cross. How could anybody hate Jesus? But man finds it in his heart to do so. And so we've got to look at the man in the center cross for an exposition of the heart of God, an exposition of the heart of man, and an exposition of the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're surrounded tonight by love, grace, and mercy. And that is the gospel truth.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about our ministry, go to milesmckee.com. Our church website is thegracechurch.ie. We'd love to hear from you. Miles's email is miles@thegracechurch.ie. If you'd like to support the work we are doing in Ireland and other parts of the world, you can click on the donate link on milesmckee.com. Don't forget to check out more sermons at sermonaudio.com. Until next time, slán agus beannacht libh.